is responsible for the property of the state. So we can't be going to each department and each entity. Public Works further. But that will be for another meeting. So today is for the 30-day payment period. If Congress may make it, to say something before the minister takes the floor, you are welcome, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We just very pleased that we are together in the part of the portfolio committee yesterday. So we think you are steering it.
Thanks, Chairperson. Minister, you may speak. The floor is yours.
Thanks, Chairperson of the Committee on Public Service and Administration Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, together with the Chair of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, Deputy Minister, the Honourable Members, Senior Officials of the Department led by the DG, ladies and gentlemen, many thanks to the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity. And let me assure once more Honourable Members that thank you, Mr. President. I send my thanks, therefore, to the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity. And I'm saying this, we want to assure the members that we take very seriously this important role of Parliament and this committee in holding ministers and officials to account. We take it, it's one of the pillars of our democracy, no matter how uncomfortable it might be for ministers and departments. And Public Works last appeared before the committee on the matters related to the 30-day payment nearly 2 years ago in March 2017. And some will remember that shortly after that, I was moved to the Department of Sport and Recreation. Which is why I've always argued that capacity needs to be built and resided within the department, not in the ministry. Because politicians come and go, and the department remains. Deputy Minister Crony was able to report in that March meeting of 2017 to this committee that two of us had embarked upon the regional roadshows, an important objective of which was to address the 30-day payment and impressing on the employees the need for compliance, but also to meet with suppliers and service providers directly to hear their concerns and also to provide their guidance in relation to the procedure and documentation required to ensure timers pay payment of the invoices. And last year we took a decision to again conduct those roadshows, particularly in the region experiencing problems. My officials will make a detailed presentation on the current status regarding the compliance with 30 days payment for that requirement, as well as measures taken to address the challenges previously highlighted in this committee. And I would ask that as members carefully weigh up the sheer volume and the complexity of the transactions, particularly within the property management trade entity, with required documentation, which can be quite onerous for small companies, as well as the professional verification of the work done, which is required. I'm raising this because this is a department which procures on behalf of many departments. lot of tenders are there in that particular department. So whatever you do, you have to be very meticulous. And this is a department also which has been fingered for a lot of fraud and corruption and so on. So in whatever we do, we have to be very, very, very careful. So with your permission, Chair, I would like to conclude these remarks with the reference to the bigger picture of the public works. When I was reappointed last year, I said that the task remained to implement the 7-year turnaround plan for public works, which was based on two pillars. I said zero tolerance of fraud and corruption and improving the way we do business, which for us means fully operationalization or operationalizing the property management strategy to optimally manage the state properties, to provide accommodation to government, and to leverage the huge property portfolio for economic development and jobs. And to implement this requires taking practical measures which also address some of the shortcomings which were highlighted in the committee in March 2017. In 2018, we initiated what we called the High Performance Center in the Project Management Office under the head of the Property Management Trade Entity, a team of experienced built environment professionals sourced from other state entities and with the assistance of the Council for the Built Environment and the Professional Council to work with the existing management to provide coordination, oversight, and ensure proper reporting at all levels of the PMTE and the accountability that comes with it. This high performance center will also provide us with an early warning system to identify where problems are going to arise and the flexibility and agility to respond to crisis. Proper oversight and reporting was one of the challenges raised in the March 2017 agreement. Secondly, we have undertaken a major drive to fill critical technical and professional vacancies in the PMTE. This addresses a second concern raised in March in the March meeting of 2017, inadequate staff competence or staff which is competent to verify and sign off on the work done, which was leading to delays in payment and to suppliers and service providers. As much as we want to pay on time, but you can't pay until you've been able to sign off and satisfy yourself that proper work has been done. And when you are seated with less qualified staff, you're not going to be able to get that proper. One final concern raised in the March 2017 meeting was the unpaid invoices accrued due to the nature of the department's work with what is known as an emergency or the day-to-day maintenance, where controls are inadequate. And I should add that this also provides opportunities for collusion, for fraud, and corruption. And I think the officials will tell you there are instances where people have hit us with double invoices. Same invoice, wanting to be paid twice. And then that's why we have to scrutinize each and everything. We've taken the following measures to address the situation. The Facilities Management Branch has introduced a program of planned maintenance to reduce reliance on emergency day-to-day maintenance. By the way, this facilities management is under the SIU. The number of transactions, by the way, we set mine out. I don't know, we set 60,000. How many of those suspicious transactions which we were interrogating, about 6,000, yes. We are interrogating those invoices. And there are, most of them are related to this day-to-day maintenance. Meanwhile, in 2018, that was signed by the president for the special investigating unit to cover this day-to-day maintenance, where our own internal investigation unit has flagged, in fact, not 16,000 suspicious transactions. So I mentioned these developments, Chairperson, because they address the two pillars of the turnaround, this zero tolerance to corruption and improving the way we do business, because they have a very critical bearing on the subject matter today, addressing a major cause of late payment. Again, first time the committee, I thought I must just make this result and allow the DG and the official to make a presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Minister, for the preamble and the introduction of Mark, DG, you can take the process.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair of the Committee and also Chair of the Public Works Committee, Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members and colleagues. Our presentation is going to focus mainly on the work already done, looking into the previous state of affairs, which will show some improvement, and also in the process we'll engage with respect to interventions that were put in place at the department. Over and above what has been said here, there are regular meetings that take place between the DG, sometimes also Minister, please, some of the service providers for purposes of ensuring that we understand what could be their challenges in order to balance the issues that are raised by both service providers and also departmental officials. I'm also going to have another meeting tomorrow with the sector of the construction professions, who raised this matter with me. My colleague, Mr. Manda, is going to take us through, and then we'll be responding to questions. Unpaid invoices, which was 3%, which is 4,537 invoices. Included there, current invoices, which were within 3 days, 3,319, and invoices that were older than 3 days, it's 1,218. So there is a slight improvement. We improved from 89% to 90% from the previous month. What we also put in place, we have a centralized system called Priyapatan. As the minister has highlighted last year around May, he made a call that we need to attack on resolving invoices. And we started the weekly meeting with all the regions through conference, which has been working very well, and we also made sure that we clean up the system, of which we have done that. We continue also to enforce content management in the department. The impact of weekly video conference with the regions, which depends on the situation, it tells you that when we started this weekly meeting, we had a backlog of 11,732. Now we are sitting with one invoice, and there is a specific reason why they are unable to pay that invoice. It's not because we don't want to. They are disputes which we are resolving. In April, we cleared all the backlog. For me,
create almost everything that many would want. So this is just a demonstration that since we started to have a meeting of which we can see everybody on board, colleagues are passionate. Invoices that are not paid now is because they are still the reason why the meeting was cannot be paid and we continue to reach service provider. We also improve our system. Our system actually now it tells us how many invoices left if you don't process them within the next 5 days, you will fall beyond the change. And it tells you to say 15 days, between 20 days, so we have that system. We then assist officials say on daily basis, you can then start to monitor the invoices that must be processed on daily basis, there are so many. So we put that in place, hence we have this significant improvement. Because of time, I'll skip some of the slides, but slide number 9, these are trends that show that how we've been progressing. If you look at the first graph, the trend has been going up in terms of treatment. As at end of December, we are sitting at 89%. If you compare with November, one may say then we didn't perform well. There is a reason for that. The system closed in December. People were going on holidays. Actually, treasury system they closed, I think, on around 18th of December. And then you can see that in December we didn't do well compared to previous months. So there is a reason for that. Then I'll come with slide number 11. Slide number 11 then starts to tell us the what was paid within 30 days. 83% were paid within 30 days. Outside 30 days, it's 13%. What I want to focus on is invoices that remain unpaid. Invoices that were unpaid, which are still within 30 days, as of 31st December, they were 3,319, which represents 74% of unpaid invoices. Unpaid invoices which are beyond 30 days was 1,218, which then represents 26% in terms of the data. And that's the reason for that why then we have more invoices. And if you compare that with the same year, I mean the same month, which is December 2017, we were actually having 10,682 invoices that were outside in this which were not paid. So if you compare that with the same month, December 2018, we were having 1,218 invoices. So it is a result of this initiative that was put in place, and the DM and the minister went to all regions just to sensitize all officials, and they met also service providers, where service providers were interacting with our political group, what are the challenges and all that. And we are working on all those challenges that were raised by service providers. I will also jump to slide number 13 and move to slide 14. Slide 14 basically also shows the trend to say how we've been performing. If you look at daily June from daily June, we're paying invoices within the region to 62%, and July there was an improvement, 70%, August 70%. You can see the trend. That was as a result of these vicinity interventions by our principal. So invoices that, as I said, we're also dealing with the backlog of parallel. So you can then see why we had a lot of invoices that were paid outside the day because we had to deal with the backlog that we started with. So hence, if you see invoices that are paid within 30 days, the number there is very high, but as you can see, it continued to go down. Then if you look at invoices that remain unpaid, I'll focus on invoices that were not paid within 30 days. When we started this weekly meeting in June, we had 4,229. In July, it went down to 1,939. Then in October, we started to make a huge progress, because for the first time we had about 525 invoices that remain unpaid, which were outside the retail. So if you compare when we started, we had about 11,000 per year. Then in November, it was 579 invoices that were not paid, and they were beyond the retail. I've already explained that for December, there was a slight increase because of the holiday. But that number for January has gone down. For January reporting, we are sitting at 600 outside the region. And our officials are working hard, because our target basically is the only invoices that must sit on our desk are invoices that we are unable to process because of the new detail. Because sales providers sometimes will change the new details without informing the department. And there are issues of this. Those are the types of invoices that now we are making. But any invoice that is ready for payment, we process it immediately. So if you look at slide number 16, our system, fortunately, we have a system also, which is a tracking system. Even today, I can tell you which region is transferring which invoices. I can press the button and call that specific manager and say, I have a problem with this invoice. So we have that system, and it can tell you the region what is happening. So you can even see Bloemfontein is doing well, Johannesburg is doing well, and what is also what we also put in place, which encourages officials, the DG issue certificate for regions that are performing well. And for the first time, I think in October, there was a region that didn't have even a single payment that was overpaid. And in November, there were two regions. I think it starts also to improve, because there was a problem with the holidays and all that. So it's a trend that is there in the department. And actually, officials now, they fully understand why you have to pay a service provider on time. And the other challenge that I thought maybe is important for me to raise, just to add what the minister has said, the day-to-day maintenance also, it's one of the areas where it's challenging, because in terms of geographical areas, our properties are all over the country. If you have a region in Durban, for you to go to Nongoma for a transaction, maybe for a visa, you have to travel a lot, and we have capacity constraints. So those are some of the challenges where the service providers, maybe you need to certify where you must physically go on site and verify if work has been done. So if there are issues, it becomes more challenging. So that's the area where we are really facing in terms of paying service providers on time. I would also allow that Dr. to share with the committee on the main account, our dealing with the trading account. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President, Minister, Deputy Minister, and members. The report that I will be presenting is at the end of December. This is a cumulative report. Now, under the main account, which is the department, at the end of December, 50,608 invoices were received, and 14,642, which is equivalent to 93%, were paid within 30 days. Those which were paid outside 30 days were 796, equivalent to 5%, and those which were unpaid at the end of December, it was 242, which is equivalent to 2%. Now, under the unpaid, a total of 242, 211 of those, they were within 30 days. And we only had 31 which were outside 30 days. Now, comparing this to the performance of 2017 March, you realize that there is an improvement compared to 2018-19 financial year. Because in 2017, the performance was around 90% in terms of the quantity, and it was 97% in terms of the amount. Now in 2018, we have 93% in terms of the quantity, and we have 99% in terms of the amount paid within 30 days. Now when you move to the next slide, it shows the time per month. It shows how many invoices were paid within each day. Like for an example, in December it was 92%, in January 81%, February 90%, March 95%, then you have the trend moving forward. Then below you will have the amount. Then you will see in some of the months you will have a huge increase. And in those months, then that's when you will be paying the transfer payment, either transfer to EPWC beneficiaries or the transfer to the departmental entities. Now, the next slide, it also shows the trend in terms of the unpaid. And this relates to the 242 that we reported on. Now, in terms of the invoices for 211 of the 242, I indicated that it's equivalent to 87%. Now, these are the invoices which were within 30 days, and the 31, they were outside 30 days, which is equivalent to 13%. Now, the next slide, which is slide 21, it shows the invoices. This tally to 31 that we reported as unpaid outside 30 days, and the 211 unpaid within 30 days. Now, under the unpaid, you realize that the bulk of the invoices, they are under corporate services, and most of them are relating to the invoices that you are receiving from the Department of Justice. Now, the delay here, among other things, is because the budget or the spending for the claims for Department of Justice, the budget is centralized, relates to the legal services. Now, before any payment can be done, the unit will have to interact with the regional offices. Once there is a confirmation that there is no dispute, then the invoice will be paid. Then under the EPWP, at end of December, we have three, which we monitor today. Internal audit is two, prestige is five, supply chain is five, and the total is 31. And that will be the end for EPWP report.
Honorable members, that's the report. We want to welcome the report and also welcome the progress so far. The last time the committee engaged the department from 2017 to 2018, the reason is the progress. Honorable members, you make comments.
And I'd like to share it with the house.
that the Department of Public Works has been among the departments identified by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, unable to fulfill its obligation of first aid payment as per the PMS Payment Act of 1999 and Trade Regulations 8.2.3. In terms of the TPME and call of the payment of service providers, the Department of Public Works have recorded the highest number of unpaid invoices of 11,904 as compared to the other national departments. I'm saying, Chairperson, having received the report and having seen this comment, I would like to give it an understanding to what you, where lies the anomaly. My last one, Chairperson, is in cases where small business has not been paid for a period over a 30-day period, what solace does such businesses have where they will consult or request assistance and so on? Is the department become aware of such, and are there measures needed to mitigate?
Thank you, Honorable Kamara. Honorable Kola. Thank you very much, Chair President. And usually, I always start by appreciating the presentation. I really appreciate that. But, Chair President, I want to maybe start with what Honorable Kamara has said. Because, you know, looking at these two reports, they are unable to speak to each other. I would like to check the possibility, Chairperson, of both departments sitting together looking at these issues. Because if here is two different departments talking about one department, and we, in that way or order, we expect one report from two different departments. They must speak one language. Chairperson, in his opening, the minister mentioned quite a lot of responsibilities that are being faced by the Department of Public Works. Surely, yes, there is really a lot of responsibilities that are responsible for all the departments in government. My question would be, can it be incapacity of the department to be able to be dealing with the rest? Because yes, we agree that they are responsible for dealing with all these departments, but that as it may be, it doesn't mean that we cannot expect performance from that particular department. If the issue of capacity is being raised before us here, really we need the department to be capacitated to an extent that they'll be able to be delivering a service that will be acceptable to us, will be acceptable to the communities out there. Chairperson, the presenter, I forgot name, I think it's President Tim Sitole, he indicated that all the invoices that are not paid is because of challenges. Surely we cannot, I personally cannot call it is non-payment if the invoice is doubtful. But my question will be, to what extent is that information communicated to the service provider? Because if really a faulty invoice is submitted to me as one who's expected to be paid, yes, I must communicate back to them so that they provide me with a proper invoice. But if it is not proper, I'm not going to call it as being unpaid, because there is a problem that needs to be attended to. So that's just my question as to how often are you communicating to them so that you'll be able to be doing the correcting, because the correcting voices, as you say, those that are not correct, really, I'm not going to call them that this is an invoice that is not paid, because really, if it is faulty, it must be corrected. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kota. Honorable Dao.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable Kota has touched on this, but I want to phrase it in the manner that the Minister phrased it. About, it was almost like a lament that somehow you couldn't be on time with many of these invoices because you are stuck. And you use the word with less qualified staff. Why is that the case? What are you guys doing about it? The other question for me, on slide 15, we refer to the focus of these updates where you're tracking your system and you have kept 119%. And what strikes me as interesting is 32% Pretoria Regional Office. What happens there? Why is it the highest one?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just a few questions I have regarding this presentation. The date, could we get the precise date of the outdated or the old invoices? The reason why I'm asking for that question is obviously it might result in legal costs. So I'll ask a follow-up question with regard to that, is that are there any and how many legal cases outstanding with regards to debt that is not paid within the prescribed period? Then it seems as though the video conferencing has proved favorable results. Could we get an indication as to what the cost of that video conferencing is to establish whether we are actually getting value for money, whether it's cost beneficial? There was mention made of this centralized budget for the Department of Justice and Correctional Services resulting in unpaid invoices. What's the reason for that? I mean, it's obviously negatively affecting the department resulting in unpaid invoices. So what's the reason for that? And then any invoice that's one day longer than 30 days is unacceptable because it's we know that it's resulting in small, especially your small businesses being affected. So that cannot be tolerated, and I hear the reasons that have been given as to why it's possible, but as one of the previous speakers mentioned, that surely that information must be rectified sooner rather than later. So we really need to make a concerted effort that the target should be 100%, not 90% or whatever, so we have a problem with that. Then what would be useful, and I know it's not included in the presentation or maybe that is not available, but we have a number of invoices. Now, it could be that one invoice might belong to one SME, or 10 invoices could belong to one SME, but it could also be that 100 invoices might belong to 100 SMEs. So the point I'm making is that how many SMEs are affected by the information that is given, because if it's one self-contractor of SME, then it's fine, then it might only be four or five people that are negatively affected. But if it's 10 SMEs, and that is one SME with one invoice, then it paints a different picture. Then it could be that 50 more people are affected. So that is something that we need to look at with regards to that. And then the last point I want to make on the Chairperson is the fact that this it seems as though the department closes shop in November. Now, surely that is a bad period to close shop or to slow down, because that is a period when your smaller businesses incur actually more expenses, because that's when they start paying bonuses and that's when they need the money throughout the year. They cannot survive or do without 1 month of payments, so why they close or slow down towards the end of the year, it really needs to be looked at. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Flick. Honorable, please vote.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to Minister and Deputy Minister and members of the Government Committee and officials. Minister started by saying that sometimes you get two invoices from the same company, or it's the same invoice from the same company. So I'm curious what the conclusion is of that. Are they charged or blacklisted? If they're not able to do business again, if they send the same invoice twice. So just curious on the conclusion. The chairperson mentioned that in the beginning when he did the introduction, I know I wasn't part of this meeting in 2017, but while the minister and deputy minister is here, I'd like to bring it up. Also because the previous presentation was with regards to employment or possible employment within the public service. Now, there was a report by the Public Service Commission, and in their report, it mentioned that people with disabilities do not stay in employment in departments for very long because there's a barrier to access coming for them coming into the buildings. Now, there's job opportunities for them, but there's a barrier and there's nothing being done to accommodate people with disabilities, especially coming into buildings. So I would like to know, maybe in future now the minister can possibly just say what can be done by the Department of Public Works to ensure that any building, whether it's an old building or a new building or some building that's still coming, is made accessible for people with disabilities. That's the one thing. Secondly, the schools, especially special needs schools, whether the school has deaf children or children who are blind, the boarding schools where the learners stay on the premises. Sometimes it's not safe and fires occur. There was a recent or a few years ago, for example, in the Northwest, one of the hostels burned because the fire alarm, the light, it was, there was no fire alarm making light instead of sound. So originally we thought that maybe, you know, South Africa doesn't have the devices available, but I did find that other boarding schools do have these devices and it's obtainable in South Africa. So I would ask the minister, I'm not sure, I think it's that school, but they rebuilt the hostel. There's a new school there in the Northwest, but the fire alarm devices that can be placed for deaf children to have lights warning them of a fire instead of sound. And then the hostel staff also need to be trained, obviously, on fire escapes and all of that. But I'm more concerned about the building and the safety of the children, especially children with disabilities. So just if you could look at that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Underwood.
I just want to, I think the minister referred to, or the deputy, somebody referred to double claimants sometimes. Now, I would like to know if a person used the same invoice to claim twice, if it is after the first payment was made, are we blacklisting with people doing double claims? I mean, that would be, I would think, quite irregular for a person to try and get payment twice for the same invoice. And then I think we, as a committee, have raised it during another meeting, and that is the issue about incorrect invoices. Surely the staff dealing at the receiving end of an invoice must make sure that when you receive an invoice, it is correct before you submit it for payment to whoever in the department. So are we training our staff well enough to make sure that when they receive an invoice, it either gets corrected in whatever manner before it is sent through for payment, because that would also stop a lot of outdated invoices building up. That's all, Chair. The rest were asked.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Kalupa. I'm sure that the TGLT team that will come and apologize Deputy Minister.
Thanks a lot for the questions. We appreciate that the recommendation that we need to make with DPMB to reconcile this report, we're going to do that because the date might not be aligned. We'll ensure that we have a session with them to address this matter. With respect to the accessibility to our buildings, we've got a program to address buildings that are not accessible. And it's also one of the requirements that we have now. Any lease agreement that we sign, we ensure that it does cover the issue of accessibility. It's one of the requirements. With respect to capacity, the Minister has initiated a program which relates to building capacity in the department, the High Performance Center, which is going to work with the department to ensure that we cover the areas of incapacity. The area of closure in November, which it closed in November, I think it's more about the system treasury, where because any payment that needs to go, it needs to go through the system that is provided by treasury, which means we're complying with what government provides. But my colleagues will cover other questions, particularly Mr. Raymond will cover the issue of the cost of the video conferencing. I think it's cost effective, but you can indicate just how much it cost us. Colleagues, if they take other issues.
Thank you, I think the report of DPMB, we don't have the date of that report. But if I look at my first slide, we started with 11,000. I think that's when DPMB was calling us and all that. So I highlighted that we had that backlog that we had to deal with. And as you can see, the progress, we successfully dealt with the report. But I agree with the DG, we engage with DPMB. But maybe the question that we have to ask is not the issue. Well, the next question that I thought about also had is the issue of communicating with service providers. We do communicate with service providers, and we must also take into account that some service providers also, small businesses, they don't have all facilities for us to effectively communicate with them. Our system, we are even trying to improve our system where we can put the comments in the system so that it can send the message to them. The emails are working for those service providers that have emails, and we contact them. The issue of Pretoria region being the highest, according to slide number 17, yes, it is. You can even see when we started. When we started with the backlog, Pretoria region was sitting with 3,937 backlog. Then you can see in April it was 1,128. So Pretoria, in terms of the volume, they deal with a high volume of transactions, hence then there is that huge percentage in Pretoria. But we are also working very hard with them. The issue of the VC, I think it's a tool that is assisting the department. Instead of us going to region all the time, which sometimes may not be practical, if the system allows us now to have the interaction with all the colleagues at the same time, because it assists us to say, if in another region they are doing things where we are able to share good lessons and all that. Raymond will add in terms of the cost, but in terms of the cost effectiveness of the system, it is assisting the partners in terms of avoiding flying every side and all that. Then the issue of categorizing invoices per SMEs, I think we've noted that we deal with that. And I think this DG has dealt with the December issue. I want to also with the issue of training of our staff. I think our staff at the receiving point, we used to have challenges where invoices were received by our works managers, where they can then start to say, no, the work done is not satisfactory and all that. But that brought a lot of challenges because invoices were sitting in offices, we can't track and all that. We then said, let's have a central point in each region where invoices will be received. Those officials, they check the validity of invoice as face-based to say it's not a valid invoice, but in terms of whether the work has been done and all that, that's the waste manager's responsibility. So that's when then the challenges start to come up. So it's a challenge that it's difficult to address because we can't go back to the way we were doing things. We had a lot of backlog where we couldn't even keep track of any invoice. So the central point is working for us, and officials are able to reject invoices in terms of the validity and space base. However, we are trying also to implement a system where service providers can submit invoices electronically, whereby even work managers can have access immediately to the invoice is received. It's what we are also trying to look at. SAS is doing that. We've already met with them to say how can we also use the system where it can be an interpreted system. We also have our own challenges with our ICT infrastructure, which the department is working hard on. So those are the things that we are trying to improve to address.
With regard to the issue of the Department of Justice, the service that is mainly centralized is for legacy, and that assists the department to ensure that there is no duplication in terms of the legal services requested by the regional office. That is the only service that is centralized, budget that is centralized. If the regional office, let's say Kimberley, they need legal service, then they will go through head office, and they will assist either through the Department of Justice for the state attorney to procure the service. Now, once the service is procured, then it will be paid from head office. That's the main reason why the budget is set up.
Honorable Chairperson, members, I apologize profusely for not having the exact the cost of the video conference, but I can commit to then calculating the cost of each video conference call and then juxtaposing that against the cost of travel that members would have undertaken, and I can provide that in a template format to the committee if I would be allowed to do that these days.
I stand on that. Let me introduce the Deputy Minister of Commerce and then the
Minister. I'm in agreement with the Minister to appreciate this opportunity to engage the committee and not for the first time. I think it's very important that you put pressure on us around this critical area, because we know that the failure to pay invoices on time in general is a problem that undermines, obviously, SMEs in particular. And for all of the obvious reasons that's problematic. Just to say that another very important reason why sometimes non-payment is a symptom of corruption, that it's a shakedown coming from the side of officials who might say, unless we get a backhander, we're not going to process the physical invoice as well. So that's another additional reason why there needs to be a strong spotlight and strong and effective monitoring and processing of the invoicing process. I thought, by way of just generalizing, because probably members, certainly members of from the Public Works Portfolio Committee, know this, that one doesn't necessarily assume that colleagues from the other Portfolio Committee would necessarily. Just to give a sense of the scope of work that the Department of Public Works and its property management trading entity are involved in. So first of all, as you can see, we got two reports. The one was for the main budget, which is the Department of Public Works, which is actually the smaller budget. The big work within the department is in our property management trading entity. That property management trading entity, we discovered to our horror, actually rather than pleasure, is the largest property owning entity in South Africa by a factor of some 7 or 8 times. The next largest property company in South Africa is Growthpoint, which is listed on the Joburg Securities Exchange. Okay, so we've got this huge portfolio, that some 30,000 land parcels and 90,000 buildings. Okay. So that's why, quite rightly, we're a very invoice-paying entity, as you can imagine. And that's why a great deal of scrutiny in regard to the space is so important. Just to give a sense of the scope, which also then led to other issues like what the Honourable Newland asked about access to buildings and effective access, whether the old buildings and new buildings. And I think we must confess that we've got a focus on that issue, but we are really battling to retrofit buildings effectively and so forth. And, you know, I think we must concede that it's a big problem, and one appreciates the question raised. I wanted to focus just on one specific area which has come up, and just to underline it. And that is that the area of greatest risk, both of fraud either from, or and corruption either from our side or in the space of contracting parties, private contracting parties, is, as colleagues have already mentioned, in the area of unplanned maintenance. Okay. The policy, the setting up of a property professional or intent to professionalize our property management trading entity has been the big project, which I think the department under the leadership of Minister Macy, both when he came, when he went, and then when he had a second coming, back into the farm. That has been the big, because he said politicians come and go, but they also come back again sometimes.
Yeah.
Because this is our big area of focus, and it's a massive area. It's parliament, it's union buildings, it's parliamentary villages, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of police stations, correctional services, things and so on. So it's a huge, huge, huge portfolio. Now, one of the attempts to professionalize is to do planned maintenance. And we know whether you're talking about roads or, in our case, buildings, the way in which to as a country, we're very good at going for new construction and not so good at maintenance. Maintenance is a big issue. Whether we talk about ESCOM, power stations, or public sector buildings, or roads, and so forth, we tend to over-focus. The politicians like cutting ribbons, you know, for new projects rather than actually focusing on the next. And all politicians from all parties, particularly ahead of elections, like cutting ribbons, okay. So we've really got to focus on maintenance and planned maintenance, okay. Not rushing into the Giza's burst that was going to repair it and so on. So a big focus of the property management trading entity, its facilities management and other programs within the property management trading entity is to put in place effective, ongoing, regular planned maintenance. Okay. And we're making progress, but you know, these things are taking time. And so the big area of risk, which is why the Minister, with the assistance of the President, brought the SIU into the space of the so-called irregular emergency repairs. Because here we're picking up that sometimes it's not just a double invoice, it's the same job. Okay, and I think we've spoken to parliamentarians at some of the villages where what happens is that the same thing gets repaired, and therefore not repaired properly, every 2 weeks. So the same service provider is laying the basis for the next job in 2 weeks' time or whatever. So that's one chronic problem that we've got to watch, which is why you asked us if we're blacklisting those, and yes, obviously we must do that. But we want to send to jail, which is why we've got the SIU, where this kind of behavior is happening. Okay. Just to give in conclusion, another practice is within the emergency so-called repairs, and obviously they do occur. One can't cut out entirely emergency things, but if you do proper maintenance on time, in a targeted way, and so forth, then the amount should decline significantly. And where we are experimenting with some of the leaked buildings, government buildings, and so on, where we didn't plan maintenance, we are seeing a significant decline in these emergency things. But what typically happens is, what often happens, is that the call comes in after hours for an emergency thing. The contractor necessarily is not necessarily credited. It's not on our books, or it's not even CIDB acknowledged in the case of, for instance, the construction thing and so on. And that's why we sit then with an invoice, which is potentially quite honest and accurate, but it's potentially not that. And we have to be very careful. So the target of 100% compliance is absolutely the target we must go for. But I suspect either we, as you correctly say, either we don't regard things where there's a question mark around an invoice as not unpaid but something different. We're unlikely to reach, and shouldn't probably, I mean, if we're doing our job properly, there will be cases where we're picking up potential problems which we need to follow. But we've got to reduce those massively. A recent case we had, for instance, is so in these emergency repairs, the service provider is allowed also then to invoice us for materials that they might have to purchase. And we picked up one case, which I've just heard about, where there's a builder's warehouse invoice for materials. Okay. And we've checked with Builders Warehouse, and Builders Warehouse says it's fraudulent. This is a fraudulent invoice. It's not something that's applied to. So those are just some examples. But I don't want those examples to override the importance. We mustn't use those examples as a reason for not getting very close to the 100% 30 days compliance. It's absolutely important. And just again, Chair President, to committee members from both of them, it's an appreciation for putting the pressure on that. And I think that we put pressure then on our colleagues, and I think they are beginning to rise, as I think the statistics are showing, beginning to rise to the challenge. But one can never be slack in these areas. So thanks very much. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Deputy Minister. Minister.
Just two issues. No, it's logical why Pretoria has the highest, which is an administrative of government, with all those buildings, the houses and so on, ministers and so on, all accommodation for government, every department wants accommodation there. The next one would be Cape Town, the villages and so on and so on. So those are the, I think it's followed by Johannesburg. That's the, it's Pretoria, Cape Town, and Johannesburg. So that's the logic, because that's where a lot of government activity is taking place. And I want colleagues to note what the Deputy Minister said. To have a portfolio of 90,000 buildings, 30,000 land parcels. That's a very huge portfolio to manage, property management. It's a very huge portfolio. And even the skills which you need. And it's unfortunate that public works for a long time was treated as a general department, whereas that is a built environment where you have to build. You need all the built environment professionals and artisans. And you have to maintain those buildings through the artisans. And that maintenance of the whole property, you need also property specialists and so on. So it's a very technical department, but it has been treated as a general department. And it's after we formed this PMTE, say, let's ring fence and look at this thing. And everybody now is starting to understand its logic. Secondly, I went to Gavin, and one of the meetings I had after meeting with the staff was to call for all the contractors, service providers there. Said we can listen to their cries. At the end, I said, okay,
with all your complaints, let's form a joint team of officials and yourselves, so that everybody brings, because there's also an issue of trust. You all know your officials are not working, so sometimes they just accuse them for without any proper reason, because some of the officials would refuse to bend to wrong things. Then let's form joint committees, where your members will come to this joint committee, present everything, but you come more often to the office to deal with those issues. I think in the first instance, we're able to resolve a number of problems. This time around, we hope that we're going to put them, especially where they are, very huge outstanding invoices, and it's helping a lot working with them. But although it's not relevant here, but I think MPs must know, there's a new element which is very problematic in cases called the Jefferson's Amaterangobon. It's a group of black contractors coming into a site and saying, we want 30 or 50% here, regardless. It's very disruptive. And they are very violent. It's also affecting us. It's something which I think Parliament must apply its mind into it. I know the executive is dealing with that particular matter. And they raise it and say, this is radical economic transformation. We want this. We want that and so on. That's why on the issue of the set aside, we're starting to be very serious for the designated groups, which is youth, women, and disabled people. So we're starting to look into that matter. On this matter of our buildings, which are not compliant and accessible to the disabled, I think we have to be honest. The new buildings, that was inbuilt, but with the old buildings, which unfortunately are many, there are also budgetary constraints. But we've requested our people to start looking into this matter, so that the little budget we do, we are able to deal with some of the areas. So it is in the process. By the way, on these issues of fraud and so on, we even created under the Property Management Trade Act a unit called the Risk Management. What is the full name? Government Risk and Compliance. No, that was our own internal investigation. We're dealing with all these frauds and so on. But sometimes our skill is very limited. We have to use those specialized agencies. That's why we had to call for the SIU. And I think the issue which you are raising, Honourable Member, is that our reports must talk to each other. But sometimes it's good, so that if we're not telling the truth, somebody else says there's this thing, and then we go back and say, hey, what's going on? Why are these reports not talking to each other? So that's a matter we'll immediately follow. But I guess on this one, their report is out. We are talking about the latest report. In fact, they alerted us to that 11,000. They alerted us to that 11,000. What else? Sorry. Oh yes, the issue of the schools. You see, ours, honorable the devotees to build the schools. We hand over to the various departments. But for us to come and do maintenance, they must call us. And they must give us the budget, by the way. If that budget is not too bad. And this is it. I think about 3 years ago, GM, we were supposed to do the maintenance and renovation of about 1,000 schools. When we had to start that program, and we had already mobilized our own resources and adapted, then there was no money from the Department of Basic Education. And Department of Basic Education, by the way, authority in Germany, they were relying on the provincial departments of education. And one of the things, and I think this issue of implementation is the biggest issue. Our infrastructure is overdue. It's going to need more maintenance. We need more budget to do that. In fact, the biggest challenge, even in the villages where you stay, you can see that it is maintenance. And we need more budget. By the way, somebody told me one thing, that when you're looking at this infrastructure, don't just look at what is on the surface. The biggest challenge is what is underground, the piping and so on. And you can see the bursting of the pipes and so on. And I think a strategy, therefore, is needed when it comes to the maintenance of our infrastructure as a whole, be it building, be it the water, be it electricity and so on, whilst you have to extend it to the other areas. Thank you very much, Chair.
The chairperson has managed to make some comments. So.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think from the public works side, we want to take the opportunity to appreciate your commitment, Chairperson, to allow us in. Because each time when we listening to officials presenting on how they are giving the services to the one that members, they are not receptive. We're not expecting this from the ladies. But there's a young gentleman as well. We are expecting it from a young gentleman. So we are appreciating the invitation that we are here. So as public works, we are also appreciating the report that we have been given. And indeed, it's something that we must continue, Minister, checking. The point raised by Dr. Peek is also very important, because when we talk payments, we usually have the service provider that are forever paid early, very quick. Then you have those that are not paid quicker. In particular, from the periphery, the rural areas, the informal settlement, and yet the built industry is the industry that must help the developing nation, must help even the newcomers. So we really looking forward to a continuous check on the part of the officials. So we also looking forward to getting reports on the consequence management on those that are involved, because when these double invoices are repeatedly caught, you would find that there would have been those that were paid initially with the assistance of those internal, so which means you need to forever do consequence management on both sides. So I think we really appreciate that there's good work that is taking place, but it must continue, and indeed we agree, Minister, Johannesburg, Pretoria, they were old cities with old infrastructure. So it's important that we must always put an eye. We hope in the cabinet you do alert everybody that you must also have a clear strategy on how to. We don't wait until many parts of us underneath ourselves. So thank you very much, Chairperson. Good luck.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, Officials. For the Minister to have taken time to come and brief us on this matter. It's very important, Minister, because you are very central in terms of building the economy of this country. As Honourable Nibot has said, that before you came in here, we're getting a briefing from DPSP in regards to the intake of graduates, interns, unemployment is something that, I mean, we can't preach to anybody. It's very high, more especially among the young people. And this department has the potential, because the bills department, to create many jobs. If you look at the history of the world after the Second World War, it was public work throughout the world, which created, which reignited the economy of the world. So you are not just dealing with a small portfolio. And we're not saying that that should be done by the department. But the department, because it's a regulatory entity, has got the capacity and the potential to make sure that in this era, when we're talking about unemployment, it creates as many jobs as possible. And we believe that's possible. Through paying up and coming, as the chairperson has alluded to, the youth, young women, and so on, and small companies, SMEs have got the potential to create more jobs. Many countries that are growing strong today, it is because of the small sector. They are not growing through monopoly industry. They are growing through small entities. And you are in that space where you deal with thousands of them throughout the country. So we are pleased with the report that there is a lot of improvement in that regard. And the issue of buildings which are getting old, Minister, look at it. There's a Lisbon building case. Don't wait for the Labour Department to come and police you that close this building. I mean, we know those buildings are in the sphere of the government. But through MINMEC, try to press on your provincial colleagues to make sure that with the little money that they have for maintenance, they should try by all means to meet the minimum standard. Look, we lost lives there, even of firefighters, when they were trying to rescue people. Firefighters themselves died because of certain things which were not in place. So, and that building is now closed. Now you must find space for all those people. Where are you going to put them? It will come back. People are waking from the Pixar Cemetery. Because you can't get a building for just 5,000 or 6,000 overnight. Not quite to that person. So look at the issue of health and safety. It's much cheaper than to close down a building. And as we are giving a case in point of the report building in Johannesburg. But also, government departments must know that public works is a custodian of the government or state property, like the public service and administration. Because we have got problems, for instance, with public service and administration. Other departments not complying with the circulars that they issue out, norms and standards. We believe it is their responsibility to deal with the issue of public service. But you find there's no compliance, we've got reports here. And the same applies to public works. We don't expect another department to create an engineering division and start to do its own public works from within and have its own norms and standards. We won't talk about those departments here. We are here for 36 but it's there, and that should not be allowed. And it creates problems. You can go to the university where I'm studying at the University of Health. Somebody just come and give a quote for a hotel. They have left. We know universities are autonomous, but that's government money. Through the Department of Higher Education and Training, that should not have been allowed. That you can build this hotel for 60 million, whereas in a short sense, it costs 200 million. And in the process, the chief realizes that no, there's no way I'm going to make it. Why I think, allow or start with money that comes from the fifth class. And the issue raised by Honorable Nibot, as she's coming from that side of the table, she has been raising this matter several times and has that requested our secretary here to pull out that report. I'm not sure whether it was from PSD or if I'm not mistaken. I think it was PSD or Lemma where they've been raising the issue of the those are friendly public facilities and in the main department. The issue of fraudulent claims, that cannot be allowed. I was listening to Minister Mswadi on, I think it was Monday. He was being interviewed about fraudulent claims. You see, there are these lawyers who have run away from road accident fund. They are now camping outside the hospital. If you go to big hospitals like this, Ahani, Paragwana, you find that they approach people with well-known negligence in your family. Either of childbirth or an operation that hasn't gone well, and then they want to start a lawsuit against the Department of Health. And how the Department of Health in trouble. So, but what Minister Mswadi alluded to was that there was somebody who was claiming 70 million that there was a botched circumcision to one of their clients, those lawyers. And when investigated, you find there was never even any operation that has been undertaken. There was never any body who came for such a circumcision to start with at the hospital. And another point he raised was that officials of government went or collude with these lawyers and even still fight. So when the lawyers come and say there's this case, you find there's no fight to argue against this fraudulent claimant. So we are having people all out there who are milking government through fraudulent claims. And as you have said that you are clamping down on that, and we really appreciate. So thank you very much for the update.
And I would like you to have the last word. So, just it's not only buildings collapsing because there's no matter they old. It's because of years of neglect and maintenance. The other issue is that I think the minister and deputy is aware of is that there ain't qualified building inspectors in the municipalities left, and there must be a serious talk to the Department of Education to provide whatever and local government, because you would find contractors getting major contracts to build, no building inspecting is done, and buildings will collapse on the people and the children of our country. So that's a serious matter that has to be followed up. We don't produce proper building inspectors, and municipalities across this country don't have them anymore.
No, thanks a lot for the part. As we have discussed before, when we were meeting DPSA, this issue that national and provincial government apply same standards like in the public service, but municipalities have their own public service regime, and it's creating a problem. And the party where I come from, we have been debating the issue of single public service, single policy for many years. And you can see the state of municipalities if you look at the report today, because they have got their own standards and great problems. But I think it's a matter that you can look at through your intergovernmental relations framework, the matter that she raised. But the education infrastructure, it's really, really critical, and the president has raised it several times. The issue of the former fees and the other child would have been that thing. But we'll make sure that other colleagues of yours should acknowledge that public works is there for the whole government. they should not create their own public works from their own, because that's what is creating problems. And they should budget for maintenance. Thank you very much, Minister, Deputy Minister, colleagues. I think we don't have minutes today. The meeting is my chair.
Thank you.